So welcome everybody that's here. Hey, let's put our hands together and welcome our online visitors this morning. We just want to make them feel welcome. And so I'll tell you, online visitors are so cool. Y'all know that. You ought to come to church anyway, but if you can't come to church, you can watch online. And so I'll just tell you right quick, I think it's such a cool story. We have some friends of ours that from another state, we've been trying to get to come to church. And so last Monday morning, I went to Gigi, and we take on Monday mornings, we get our visitors cards and we fill them out right quick. And I write a letter to everybody that visits over here. And I looked on the sheet of people signing up online, and someone from Colorado had paused the online deal, pulled out their phone, scanned the QR code, and filled out a form saying, I'm visiting over there today. So how cool is that, that people all over get to come to church with us? So glad you're here. Glad you're watching online today. We are going to continue in our study in the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. We started a few weeks ago. I have challenged you over the last several weeks to be reading in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has laid a foundation for my family and my family's faith. So many people say to me, Cody, I want to read the Bible, but I don't know where to read. Where do I start? And so I always say in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Proverbs. Proverbs is very simple. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's 30 to 31 days in the month. And so when my kids were little, we would sit on the porch, me and Jennifer would, and we'd just read a proverb a day. And so it's been very foundational in our life and our faith journey. And so I've challenged you guys to be reading in the book of Proverbs as well. And so that's why we kicked off this series today. We're going to read Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 4. We're going to read Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 4. And we're going to just try to unpack this and see what the Lord would challenge us with today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4 says this: these proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. Everybody say young. Today we're going to be discussing this topic of teaching and training the young people in our lives. Yet a girl, me and you, ain't nobody else saying amen, but it's me and you. As I look across this congregation, man, I just see it growing, praise the Lord, and I see so many young babies, and I see so many young families. And how many of you would agree with me today that our children in 2025 need more godly teaching and training? We just do. We need to learn how to do that. And the cool thing about talking about what we can teach our young people and what we can teach our children is this, that you know what? Many of us did not grow up in a home where we were taught the wisdom of God. We didn't grow up with godly wisdom being our teacher. Here's the thing about the Word of God. It'll teach our young people, but it'll teach our adults who missed it out at a young age as well. And so I just pray that God would challenge us and teach us today and that we would learn. So let's start out by praying and then we'll get to going. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for life. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the young people in our lives, Lord. Thank you that we were all young at once, Lord. And I just pray today that your Holy Spirit would be present in this room and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us across this room of all ages, of all different people. Speak to us. We want your wisdom. And we want your understanding. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, I'll just tell you this. I am so thankful for the young people that come to church at Bethel. I am so thankful to see families bringing their young kids. And yes, I know we bribe your children with candy cigarettes and beef jerky snuff. And there's no shame in the game right there. Well, you know what we say? People say, I can't believe you give them kids candy cigarettes and fake snuff. And I say, well, you know what? That is just an opportunity for you parents to teach them the difference in fake stuff and real stuff. Come on, somebody. But our children today, man, we live in this crazy world, man, and our world is divided like it's never been divided, and there's left and right, and there's liberal and conservative, there's Democrat, there's Republican, and our world is full of hate and anger and bitterness and all that. And how many would agree, like, our children need good instruction these days. They need something to go by. They need a guide that they can walk, a guide that will show them how to live and walk life. Most of all, they need godly training. And what we got to teach our children is to have fun serving God. And it's okay to have fun serving God. But Proverbs 9:10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Like, I love my kids. And my kids love me. But there's a tick of fear in my kids, too. Because they know old dad will tear that butt up if they get out of line. Can I hear a good amen? And we need to have that reverent fear of God. Like, we love God. We can come to God when we have problems. But we need to understand that when we get out of the will of God, God is angry and God is jealous. And he will do what he has to do in order to get us back into his will. We need to teach our children that. Teaching our children good godly training. How many of you would agree with me that's easier said than done? Come on, somebody. It's easier said than done. It's hard. It's hard raising children, man. Us parents want to be our children's best friend. Come on, somebody. And so sometimes when we want to be our children's best friend, we're so worried that we don't want to just whip our kids, and we don't want to just ground them, and we don't want to just be on their butt at all times. But we got to remember that children are a gift from God. That children are heritage from the Lord, that God trusted you and trusted me. He counted us worthy to raise up these children and to teach them and to mold them and to make them into someone that would grow up and contribute back to society, and more than that, would contribute back to the kingdom of God. Children, how many would agree children are dumb? Come on, somebody. They need our influence. They need our training. Have you ever seen someone that just left their kids to the world to teach and train? Everybody's looking at their neighbor like, that's him. They need it. That's what parents are for. And can I tell you something to you parents right quick? Parents are parents for life. Once you become a parent, contrary to what America says, you don't just be a parent until they're 18, break their plate, kick them out, and let them figure it out. Parents are parents. My kids are like 24, 25, 20, 21, somewhere in there. I don't remember how old they are. They're old enough they really shouldn't need a parent, but they still need me and their mother to give them wisdom and to give them insight. And so once you're a parent for life. It's hard when you're trying to raise these kids, man. It's hard when the world is going one way and you're trying to go another way. It's hard, but trust me on this. My kids are not perfect, but I'm going to tell you, if you will work hard to teach and train your children to have godly wisdom, teach them how to behave and how to be young adults, someday they will grow up and they will thank you for being harder on them. They will. One of the great sacred moments that Jennifer and I have is at one time, Will and Jesse, my two oldest boys, they're graduated. They're out on their own, and they came back to us, and they said this: we didn't realize what was really going on out there. Thank you for teaching us and training us and for being hard on us. That's a great thing, you know, when your kids say those things to you. Here's what I want you to hear today. If we don't teach and train our children, the world will teach and train them. If we don't teach and train our children, the culture they live in will teach and train them. If we don't teach and train them, their peers will teach and train them. You know what? As far as faith in Christ, as far as having faith in Jesus and having a faith life and walking it out, listen to me. If we don't teach and train our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. I'm saying that again. If you and I, as godly parents, don't teach and train our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. And can I say this, and then I'm moving on? We as parents, what a privilege to be called parent. What a privilege. What a privilege, man. It was my goal in life. I've told y'all this before, but I went to Wiley High School. Come on, any Bulldog fans out there, can I hear you go this morning? And when I was a senior, I was voted the most friendly in my senior class. Yeah, I was. And there was a picture of us, a picture of me and this girl in the annual. And it said, what are your goals in life? And my goal was, and when I was a senior, I said, I want to be married and have some kids. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to have some children. And can I say to you parents, we will be held accountable for the way that we parent our children. We will be held accountable for the way that we parent our children. So let's kick off Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. And let's talk about some things that we must teach our children. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 4. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never, never, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God and with people, and you will earn a good reputation. The first thing that we're taught in the book of Proverbs to teach our children is this: never let loyalty go away from you. Loyalty, faithfulness, just being faithful. Can I tell you, there is power in raising up children that know how to be faithful. Our world is full of people that are faithful to what's going on right now, to faithful what seems to be cool, to faithful to see what wants to be popular, but then later in life, they lose their faithfulness to what got them where they are, and they just go do and believe anything. Be faithful people, man. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6 says, most men and women will proclaim each their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? If I were to go across this room and talk to each of you, most of us in this room would tell you what we can do good. I can talk good, I can preach good, I can ride good, I can trade cows good, I can train horses good, I know how to cut hair good. We're quick to tell everybody what we're good at, but the scripture says, who can just find a faithful man? Just being faithful. Everybody shout, faithful. Faithful. Now, I have a list. I'm going to tell you quickly. I have a list of things that says things Cody values. And when you go to work at this church, when you're employed at this church, everybody gets one of these handouts, and it says what Cody values, because he's your pastor, he's the one in charge. And the number one thing on the list that I value is this: loyalty. Faithfulness. You don't have to be the best, you just got to be faithful. You don't have to know all the answers, I just want you to be faithful. And that's what I want from my kids. My kids are knuckleheads, but my kids are faithful. My kids have made some mistakes, but my kids are faithful. I'm telling you, when it gets down to the nut cutting and it gets down to the down and dirty stuff and I need some help, buddy, I will call my kids, because my kids are faithful. My kids love their dad. My kids will show up anytime. My kids will fight the devil himself. My kids aren't perfect, but my kids are faithful. And I am thankful for their faithfulness. And you and I, we got to teach our kids to be faithful to something. To be faithful, number one, to God. That's why you teach and train them. That's why you bring them to church. That's why you read the scripture with them. Because when they get older and they get married, they're going to encounter struggles. When they get older, they're going to face some financial difficulties. When they get older, the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And if they say, you know what? I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, faithfulness will carry them further than most anything else will. Teach them to be faithful to God. Teach them to be faithful and loyal to others. I mean, like a friends. I got some friends, man. They're faithful. They're faithful. They're faithful. They're faithful. Teach them to be faithful to God. Teach them to be faithful to others. Teach them to be faithful to their convictions. And teach them to be faithful to just get up and go to work. Come on, somebody. How many know our kids these days, they need to know how to get up and go to work. Get up and go to work on a regular... I love this story in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, tells the story of how this one woman, Naomi, she mentored this young woman named Ruth. She mentored her, and she taught her, and she trained her, and she went with her. And because of all the effort that Naomi put into Ruth, because of all the time Naomi gave to Ruth, watch what Ruth says in Ruth, chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you, and don't ask me to turn back. Wherever you go, I'll go with you. Wherever you live, I'll live with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." She said, "I'm faithful to you. And after all God has done for me and you, shouldn't we be loyal and faithful back to God?" That's what we should desire for our children. How many of you are going to heaven one day? Shout amen. when we get to heaven, we will not be rewarded for our good preaching. When we get to heaven, we will not be rewarded for how much money we made or how much stuff we gathered or how many good deeds we did. You know what we will be rewarded for when we get to heaven? Loyalty and faithfulness. Matthew 25:21, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. If you want to see your children flourish and you want to see God give them more and more and more, teach them to be loyal with the little stuff. Teach our children, teach and train them to be faithful. Number two, teach our children to walk in humility. To be humble. To just be humble. The benefits of that, it says you'll have health and you'll have healing physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Proverbs 3:7-8. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Can I be real with y'all at 11 o'clock today? Many of our children are overly impressed with themselves. They're overly impressed with themselves, and many of us parents are overly impressed with our children. The point, here's the deal. We got to make sure. It's a trend. It's our culture right now. We got to make sure that we don't raise our children thinking that they're never wrong. They're never wrong. It's never their fault. They couldn't help it. They're just victims of circumstance. You know what? Children are children, and children are wrong the biggest majority of the time. Can I hear a good amen? If we raise our children to believe that they're never wrong and that it was never their fault and that they couldn't help it, we will raise up a generation that has a victim mentality, that have an entitlement mentality, and they never, ever know how to accept responsibility. Look at the world we live in. When we raise our children like this, we teach them the opposite of humility. Rather than teaching and training our children to think they know it all, teach them and train them, as Proverbs 2:3 says, to cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Teach your children that they're just children and they're just learning. And if they want to have wisdom and they want to have knowledge and they want to know how to live life, teach them to cry out and ask somebody else that's older than them or wiser than them, can you help me with this situation? How many of you know it's never wrong when you ask for help? And if we teach our children to ask somebody else that's wiser, my old granddaddy raised me, y'all know that, my granddaddy Donald. He used to always say this. He said, Pard, you can learn something from anybody, no matter who they are. You can learn, sometimes you can learn what not to do from somebody else by just watching others. Teach our children to be humble, that they're not always right, that they can look and see and learn and ask questions from the people around them, and they can gain wisdom. Matthew 23:12 says, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let's raise up young children that will humble themselves. That will humble themselves, ask for help, and seek the wisdom of God. Because the scripture promises this. How many of you want to see your children go a level higher than what you've gone? How many want to see your children continue to grow and continue to grow in the blessings and the favor of God and the favor of men? Then teach them that they don't have to exalt themselves by their performance, that they don't have to exalt themselves by their wisdom, but if they will be humble and cry out to a God that will help them, He will exalt them. And how many of you know God can exalt our children way higher than we can or that they can exalt themselves? You got to teach your children. You got to teach your children. Got to teach our children to be faithful. We have to teach our children to be humble. And then the last thing is this. We got to teach our children understanding. Understanding, like you got to teach your kids how to understand life, how to understand who God really is, to understand. And when we live a life of understanding, it results in joy. How many want your children to have a life filled with joy? Proverbs 3:13-18. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. Now, if you're like me, I was about 28 years old before I learned any wisdom. Come on, somebody. And that should be a motivator for you and I, because many of us didn't grow up with good godly teaching. We didn't grow up with good godly wisdom. But here's the deal. Wouldn't you like for your children not to have to fight the battles that you had to fight and wait as long as you had to wait? What if we took the initiative, and what if we taught them wisdom at age 2 or age 5 or age 10, and they didn't have to wait till they were 28 to wake up out of their dumbness and start living in the wisdom of God? Joyful is the person who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to wisdom. She offers long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. I'm going to say one more time. Teach and train your children some understanding. Parents, what a privilege it is to teach and train children and mold them into a person that will add value to society and the kingdom of God. Teach them to understand God, to understand the ways of God, and to understand the plans of God. Teach your children understanding. Teach your children that they are just children and they need to be taught. Teach them to understand life is tough. Can I hear a good amen? Teach your kids life is going to be tough. Teach your children that they need discipline and wisdom, and they need to embrace responsibility if they're going to overcome the tough times in life. It's hard to believe, but we got to be telling and we got to be talking about it. Teach your children responsibility. Children, your parents are not just old hard butts and old fuddy-duds. You got to learn to clean your room. You got to learn to get up at a certain time, because one day you are going to be an adult and you are going to get a job, and your boss could care less how sleepy you are or how late you stayed up or what other things you have to do in life. We have got to teach our kids so they will grow up and be responsible adults. Teach them life is tough. Teach them you're going to be tired. Can I just say this? Teach your kids, not only is life going to be tough, but teach your kids to be tough. We don't need any more panty-waisted, pussy-foot, little soft men and women growing up in the church. We were not created for a life of ease. We were created to overcome tough situations. Teach them and train them that teach your kids there's good in the world. But teach them there's evil in the world too. Teach them to have a head on a swivel and to understand that not everybody that comes along has their best interest in heart. Teach them and train them that the enemy is out there and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Teach them there's good, but teach them there's evil as well. Teach them to understand life is not always going to go their way. Come on, somebody. Have you seen our world? Things don't go our way, and we lose our crap these days. Somebody that you don't like gets elected to office, and you go on social media making a rant, screaming and hollering and losing your absolute total mind. Things are not always going to go your way in the way that you want them. We were at the grocery store last week in the chip aisle. This woman had a kid. By the hand, I don't know. Maybe she wanted Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I don't know what the kid wanted. But obviously the mother said no, and this child is screaming, hollering, kicking, busted up bags of chips laying in the floor, and mom is dragging them on the ground. I wanted to say, do you want to whip that child, or do you want me to? Obviously, that child had not been told no very often. I want you to listen to me, parents. Teach and train your children. The answer is not always going to be yes, sweetheart. It is not always going to be yes. It is okay. As a matter of fact, we have got to tell the children in our lives no sometimes. Because here's the plan of God. God has given children parents. And you know what? When children grow up in a home to parents, they must submit to the will of their parents. And the reason that God set it up that way is because when they graduate out of that home and live on their own, now they have to learn to submit to the rules and the ways of God, their Father in heaven. And there is coming a time in the life of your sons and daughters when God tells them no. Because God is not a sugar daddy that is obligated to say yes to you every time you come to him and want something. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God knows more than we know. And sometimes God says no to us. And if we have not told our children no, we will raise up kids that are mad and bitter and angry at God every time he says no. Teach your kids that sometimes the answer is no. Teach them they're not always going to get what they want. Teach them to understand they're going to have to do some things that they don't really like and they don't really want to do. Teach your children to understand they can't, that they, all right, listen to me. Teach and train your children to understand that the world does not revolve around them. Teach and train your children to understand that the world does not revolve around them, that they cannot be the center of every conversation, that everything cannot be about them all the time. Teach them that at home. It starts at home. It starts at home. And then it goes over into school, because you know what? When you send your kids to school, if they don't obey the rules, they get in trouble, all right? And let me say this, because we do family church, and please don't hear me wrong or take me wrong. Children are children, and children are going to act out, but teach your children how to act when you come to church. I'm just saying, you don't let your kids run wild loose at the rodeo. You don't let your kids run wild loose at the football game. Teach and train your children. This is the house of God, and we have a fear of God. And you know what? Your children have to sit for 30 minutes or longer when they're at school. Teach them to sit 30 minutes in the middle of a sermon at church. Make sure they're not misbehaving. Make sure they're not controlling the whole room. Make sure that the whole section is not ignoring the preacher and just watching your kids act like a nut at church. Just telling you, children do better and children thrive when there are boundaries set up for them. Here's the fun part. Y'all ready for the fun part? Proverbs 13:24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. It is okay for you to spank your child's butt. Half of y'all got that. Half of y'all like that. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. I'm not telling you to abuse your children. I'm not telling you to beat your children. I'm not telling you out of anger when you're angry and you lose it to go beat them and whip them too much. We've all been guilty of that. I have. Shut up, Jesse. But I'm saying this. Listen to me. Look. I'm almost done, I promise. Maybe. When your children are disobedient and when they misbehave, bust their butts. Do it out of love. Do it out of correction. Do it out of discipline, not anger. And it's hard. Can we just level on that? It's hard to whip your kid's butt. My daddy used to say, as that belt was coming out of them belt loops, shoo, 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 shoo. Cruel and unusual punishment. Come on, somebody. My daddy used to say, it's harder on me than it is on you. I was like, bull crap, it is. It's hard to whip your kids, but listen to me. How many of you say this? It's easier just lash them with my tongue than it is to whip their butt. It's easier for me. What is wrong with you? You know better than acting like that. I didn't get to do that when I was a kid. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me is a bunch of BS. Because when you whip their butt, they'll be over that sore butt in a couple of days. But sometimes the words that we say to our children out of anger will linger in their heart and their mind for years after that. It's easier. Just whoop their butt. Proverbs 22:15. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far from them. Once again, I'm not saying beat or abuse. I'm saying spank their butt out of love. B because you do love them. And I'm saying it again and again, godly discipline in busting their butt is way better than hollering, shaming, or talking down to them. And trust me, some of your children need a spanking. Tell you one more story and I'm done. When I lived in Guthrie, there was a man that lived up there that worked on the ranch. He married a woman who had two children. These two children, their father abused them and beat them in a bad way. So the mother divorced him and she married this other guy. He was the stepdad. These were the two most misbehaved kids I've ever been around in my life, except Cole Hatfield. These kids were horrible. And the stepdad would say to us cowboys, man, I can't lay a hand on them or I'll get in trouble when I get home. But if y'all need to discipline them, just get after them. I was like, that's just my game right there. I'm telling you, them kids, I talked to them kids horribly. I made them kids mine. I shapped their butt. And if you don't know what a shapping is, it's when you take your leggings off and you whip somebody with your leggings like this. We whipped them kids. I talked down to them kids. I made them kids mind and behave. I was horrible to them. But we'd meet at the bunkhouse every morning to get our marching orders before we went to work. And when those two kids came out of their house, they ran over and sat by me in the bunkhouse. And we'd get on our horse, they'd ride over there and be around me, because deep down, children know they need discipline. And children know that if somebody loves me enough to discipline me, they really, really care about me. And children work better within boundaries. Conrad worship team, come help me close. I close with this today. We have to teach and train our children. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes it's hard. But once again, I remind you, we're going to be held accountable for the way that we parent our children. And that includes our grandchildren, and that includes our stepchildren, and that includes our spiritual children. Teach and train them. Some of us, we weren't really taught and trained when we were a young age, but now, you know what? Now you know. So you know what? You need to apply some of this to your life. To be loyal. To be faithful. Just show up, man. How many of you know just showing up is about 80% of the game? Come on, somebody. Just showing up. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. And then how about this? Walk in humility. Let me know. I ain't got it figured out. Let me know. You ain't got it figured out either. Cry out for insight. Lord, help me. And then understanding. Just to understand life. To understand God. He's our Heavenly Father. And understand we can run to Him, and understand He's all about love, but He's also a jealous God. And He's a God that will discipline those that He loves. Teach and train our children to honor God in all things. How many believe this? And I'm done. Our world filled with people that are faithful, humble, understanding God and honor God in all they do. How many believe that'll change our world? It's an absolute game changer. Y'all stand on your feet and I'll pray and we'll be done. Father, we love you and we thank you for today and we thank you for life. We thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for children. Thank you for young people, Lord. I just thank you for all the young people in this room, Lord. I just thank you for the parents in this room. Thank you for parents and for grandparents, Lord. And I pray today that you would speak to us. I pray today that you would challenge us. I pray, God, that some of us in this room, that we've had a shift in our mind today and we've had a shift in our way of thinking and we begin to understand and realize that I can't just let the school system parent my children and I can't just let the church parent my children and I certainly can't let the government parent my children, that I have to go to the Word of God. And if I'm going to go to the Word of God as a parent or a grandparent, it's going to be tough and it's going to be a struggle. But Lord, let us be willing to do those things so that the next generation can be exalted and be lifted up, Lord. Speak to us. Thank you for good, godly parents. And thank you for good, godly children that are being raised up according to the ways of God. We believe it's going to change our world. Speak to us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's close with worship.